You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Past episodes of the Authentic Business Adventures program can be found in the podcast link at drawincustomers.com. We are coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Radio Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, entrepreneur, author, speaker, and helpful coach to small business owners across the country. Today, we're welcoming / preparing to learn from Vidal Espinoza from Invictus Advisors. Now, Vidal, if I am not mistaken, you were the one that said everyone is broke, they just don't know it yet. Is that correct?
That is right.
That is awesome.
Thank you for having us and your show. We're really grateful to be part of this.
Yeah, this is super awesome. So just for the folks listening here, how about you just tell us basically what do you guys do?
We are a boutique accounting firm that specializes on cash flow support.
Okay.
And as you said it, people don't know that they're broke.
They're broke. Okay, so let's elaborate on that a little bit.
Well, generally, we all are broke, but for us, we mean broke your business.
Oh.
It's very strange, or not everybody knows their numbers.
Very true.
And that's okay. That's okay. You're not supposed to know your numbers.
Okay.
But at least have somebody in your team know them.
Sure. Somebody should, huh?
Somebody should. Ideally, will be the owners, right?
Right.
But you're not an accountant. You did not start your business to do your books and or to do your accounting.
Sure.
And or to tax plan and or to manage your cash flow.
Sure.
So at least have somebody in your team.
Sure.
Your bank statement is not your financial statement.
No. At any given moment, you know. I was talking with a business owner, this was quite a few years ago, and he was saying that he never reconciled his checkbook.
Wow.
And I said, what do you mean you never reconcile your checkbook? He's just like, yeah, I don't have to. I have enough money in there. And I said, how do you know? And he's like, yeah, I haven't bounced a check yet. So presumably he was making enough money where it was a non-issue, but still it seems risky, I guess. Because you don't know anything that's being pulled out that shouldn't be pulled out.
Well, you can utilize your bank statements, but if you have two checking accounts, and we actually have done a couple of videos on that, and we educate our clients and tell them, hey, if you're at least not going to read my financial statements, open two checking accounts.
Okay.
One, where you deposit every single income revenue from your clients. And the other one, it's where you pull out every single expense.
Okay.
And the difference between both of them, that's your profit. That's for you to take home.
Sure.
And at least they know a little bit of how their company is doing.
Sure.
Because if you follow the method of, if I have money in my bank account or if the debit card goes through, I'm okay.
Well, it must be good. I still have checks left.
Yes. So we utilize that two checking account method.
Okay.
And it's helpful. It's helpful.
Interesting. So tell me, how long have you been doing this?
For over 20 years.
Holy cow. That's a long time to be doing accounting. Wow. How did you get involved in that?
Well, as a Mexican descendant, my dad was an accountant.
Okay.
But he never practiced accounting. He was always an entrepreneur, a business owner. So, as expected, I had to continue with the family tradition of my dad being an accountant. I had to be an accountant.
Sure.
So I went to school. I got a bachelor's degree in accounting. And then, as everybody is expected, I had to finish at least one master's.
Okay.
And once I had my master's, I was free to do whatever I wanted. That was the rule.
All right.
So the rule was, okay, I finished my master's, and in the meantime, I got an opportunity to become a restaurateur.
Okay.
And I've always wanted it to be a restaurateur or a chef. So after that, I gave my mom my certificate of my bachelor's, the certificate of my master's, and I was free to go to culinary school.
Oh, nice. That's a 180-degree shift there.
Yes, I actually, I bought my first restaurant September 11th, 2001.
Oh, that's not the best timing in the world.
Yes, I actually was in Mexico. I lived in Tijuana.
Sure.
And I reside in San Diego, so it's just a matter of crossing the border.
Sure.
Back and forth. So that day, it took me 5 hours to cross the border from Tijuana to San Diego.
I bet.
Only. And I bought the restaurant that day. So I say that I woke up an accountant and I went to bed a restaurateur.
Wow. All right.
But that's another story. And I ended up owning three restaurants, a catering company, and I then decided, you know what, let's dump them and let's just focus on my accounting practice.
Okay.
Go back to my roots. Go back to what I went primarily to school for.
Sure.
And let's continue with that.
Okay.
So I do have the entrepreneur gene in me.
Yeah.
So.
Nice.
Part of my story.
So how did you get in? Well, let's back up a step to the restaurants. How did you decide to get into restaurants as a side step to accounting?
Well, all my life, the cooking has it's one of my passions.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I was doing my second master's, my thesis for that master's, since it's international business, was a investment project for a Mexican restaurant in Russia.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's diverse. Wow.
Yes. So one of my clients, my actually very first client of my accounting practice, her daughter opened this restaurant.
Okay.
The one I bought. So she called me and said, hey, do you know what? We need to see you. So that's when I crossed the border on 9/11.
Yeah.
And she said, you know what? The partners among us were not getting along. We want to sell the business.
Oh.
And I said, without thinking or without consulting my family or anyone, I said, I'll buy it.
Sure, why not?
And yeah, I know now that they appreciate me a lot because that restaurant cost me only $20,000.
Oh, wow.
They sold it to me for $20,000. It was an ongoing business. It had a clientele, everything. Mm-hmm. They just handed me the keys. They even trained me.
Wow.
They left the chef. So they just wanted it to get rid of it, and it was a gift from them to me.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Sure.
So from there, that's how I got into it. So obviously my thesis changed a little bit to a investment project in San Diego for an Italian restaurant.
Huh. Interesting. Now, do you still own that?
No, I actually sold them in 2007.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you ran it for 6 years or whatever?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It was a good run.
Sure. No, in my world, I guess, as far as restaurants are concerned, anything over 6 months is a good run, at least around here.
Right.
Restaurants is just that's a business that I do not completely understand. Because I just see them coming and going so much.
Understand them.
Yeah. The way maybe I just see them coming and going, and they're so capital intensive.
Yes.
That I remember asking a banker, like, how do you decide what restaurants to lend money to? And the specific banker said, we don't.
So, that's a great answer.
Yeah. So I'm like, all right, well, it's not just me wondering what's going on here. A lot of people are.
No, restaurants are not. Are not an easy business, and they can break you.
Yeah,
a lot.
Yeah, it's I worked at a movie theater, and I had a manager there that taught me so much about business. I was too young and naive at the time to understand what he was teaching me. But as I look back, I can think, oh yeah, that was a smart guy. He told me to never get in the restaurant business because people are tired and hungry, and that's the worst position that you can be in trying to serve people.
Right.
So it's interesting. And now that I got a 6-year-old kid, I understand when you mix tired and hungry. It's a bad day. So
they even asked me if I would go back into the industry, and I said no.
Only consulting. Interesting. Oh, that's so funny. So now you have a business partner, right?
Yes, yes, Jeff.
Okay, Jeff. And how did you guys get together?
Well, he was actually working for somebody else,
mm-hmm.
and things happened in life, and he got laid off.
Sure,
he got let go, and since he was helping, I said, "Hey, why don't you join the team? And instead of me just running the business by myself, I have somebody that I trust, and we can go into business together."
Sure,
and that's how the partnership started.
And how long ago was this?
This was like 6 years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's been a little while.
Yes.
Yeah, All right. So 6 years ago, were you essentially doing what you're doing now, or did the business model change over time?
No, actually been doing the same thing. Different clients. We still have clients from the first day I started it, my practice. Which is amazing because generally, when it comes to accounting, tax advisors, CPAs, the lifespan of a client is like 5 to 6 years. So every 5, 6 years, they shift.
All right.
We've been blessed and that we have clients that have been with us for over 20 years.
Wow. That is incredible.
Yes.
So when you first started, was the idea that you're going to target small businesses and work with them specifically?
Yes, the business model was we are a concierge accounting firm, and we answer, and we're here to help the business and the clients in any way, form, shape that we can support them.
All right.
It actually has not shifted that much, but now we have hours. We don't pick up the phone at midnight.
Sure. That's. I suppose when you first start, you know, anybody that's even remotely considering handing you money, you want to give them everything you possibly can, but eventually you just can't do that forever.
Right.
Right. That's just going to burn yourself out or extinguish the freedom of the whole point of starting your own business.
Exactly. It doesn't, it's not a sustainable business model.
Sure. So now 20 years of doing this, you've probably seen some patterns of business owners making similar mistakes. So,
correct.
Are there some mistakes that you can share, or just some insight that you can give to us from some of the things that you've seen?
Yeah.
The what not to do's, I suppose.
Most business owners hate following advice.
Ah, that's so true.
They seek opinions,
mm-hmm.
but they hate advice.
Okay.
And the only reason is advice, it's putting you out of your comfort zone.
Sure. Because they may be challenging some decisions that you made, right?
Correct. And opinions, they take the opinion that best suits them.
Sure.
So when they listen to our advice, but they follow their opinions, afterwards they come to us and they, oh, you were so right. Do it this way.
Sure.
But it's only after they experience it.
All right.
So the saying, you know, you don't know what you don't know, it's
sure.
so true when it comes to business.
Oh, very true.
Because we've encountered in all those years also that business owners, the majority of us, let our significance guide us.
Sure. There has to be a little bit of ego in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Our ego, it's our biggest enemy.
Sure.
It sounds very like, oh, you're going to say the same thing as everybody says, but it is true. Our egos are the ones who are not letting our businesses and ourselves grow.
Right. Totally agree.
You don't want anybody else to be right. You want to be right. You're the business owner. It's my capital. It's my business. It's my bank account.
Right.
So I am right. Well, guess what?
Not always.
I'm sorry, but not always.
Yeah, I can totally appreciate that. I try to sell some clients calls on call, the call answering thing, and these are people that are clearly not answering their phone. And when I used to just call people out on it, like call, pun intended, right? Say like, dude, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Tuesday, you're not answering your phone. Clearly you hate money because you don't know this number from any other number. So you don't know if it's junk or if I just want to throw $1 million at you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they're just like, eh, I'm too busy, blah, blah, blah. You're the one phone call I missed the past 2 years. Like, totally not true, right?
Right, yeah.
But, yeah, it's a very tough water to navigate, I guess, because you don't want to tell people they're doing it wrong, but they're doing it wrong. You know, a certain thing.
You know what? Our the way that I approach my clients, our clients in the firm, it's very straight on. I don't sugarcoat anything. If they're wrong, I'll tell them to their face, and I think that's one thing that they like.
Oh, nice.
I'm not sugarcoating them or saying, hey, you know what? This might happen. No. This is what's going to happen.
Sure.
And you might end up losing your house. You might end up paying Uncle Sam everything that you're taking out plus penalties and interest.
Sure.
So either you do it this way or thank you, the door is there.
Uh-huh.
I've gone to the extent of telling straight to the business owner, the main business owner, to their face, you know what? You are the problem in the business. Get out.
All right.
And I think they appreciate that because nobody else or other consultants haven't had the guts to tell them to their face.
Okay.
So I think that's a way of, if don't sugarcoat it in business. In business, it's black or white or red.
Right. Yeah, you hope not too much red, but in the end, that's why they're talking to you.
It is. So if I don't tell them the truth as it's going to happen, then why are they paying me for?
Sure.
I am nor the therapist nor the priest.
Sure.
Right? Sure. I am a business consultant for them.
Right.
So I should work on their best interest.
Right.
So their best interest is you're losing money.
Right.
Stop pulling money like this. Start doing this. And if you don't want to listen, then I'm just wasting my time. I don't want to be paid for that.
Sure. Get out and good luck.
Exactly.
So you raise an interesting point, and it's a perfect segue to a question that I like asking people that are in a similar position as you, where they're essentially helping people that need help. And a lot of times when that's financial help, you don't work for free. So do you ever have a hard time, or what's the challenge of getting paid for your services from clients that just may not have the money? Or I guess, how do you navigate that?
Well, it's very interesting because the good thing is that we know their numbers. We know their bank accounts balance.
Okay, sure.
And we call them out.
Okay.
Hey, you spend this amount of money on meals and entertainment, so my bill is due.
Sure.
And there's no way that they can go around and say, oh, no, this is no.
Like, sure.
It's due or I'll stop my service.
Right.
And every business owner that has that account, that provides a service and has accounts receivable, they should be like that. Like, you're living. No, the business owner is making ends meet and whatever, but you also have to be paid for your services.
Yes.
We've suspended services, and we've not provided them their paperwork.
Sure.
So if they don't have that paperwork, they can't either go to any other consultant.
Yeah, sometimes you have to squeeze a little bit, make sure that they understand what they're trying to do.
I think in 20 years, we've done that twice.
Sure. Sure. So, that's we've all had those customers that weren't the greatest at paying, and sometimes you had to squeeze a little bit to let them know that you were more important than maybe their cable bill or something like that.
But it's okay. As a business owner, it's okay for you to make those decisions and take those actions.
Sure. Sure.
Right?
Very
true. Don't be afraid of not doing it.
So let's talk about more of the challenges and the problems and things like that you see commonly made by business owners. Are there any things, I guess, any more bits of advice or things that you see commonly that people are doing that you're like, oh, if people would just do this, I'd be out of a job?
Most business owners and most people, they don't have a business. They're self-employed.
Sure. They own a job, right?
Yes. They're the most expensive employee in their company.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they don't realize it.
Sure.
They don't realize it because if they leave the company, the company doesn't generate revenue.
Okay, sure.
They're prisoners of their company.
Right.
And I think that they lost focus as to why they started the business.
Huge one.
Why they are in business for themselves.
Sure.
If you open a business because you're going to have more time for yourself, stay as an employee.
Right.
If you open a business, or if you're trying to open a business to generate more wealth or revenue, become an investor and keep a 9-to-5 job.
Mm-hmm.
That's not for you. Entrepreneurship is not for you.
Sure.
Entrepreneurship, it's not learned. You learn through the process,
mm-hmm.
but you must have it on you.
Yeah,
entrepreneurship, it's extremely, extremely exhausting, draining,
sure.
and you must be built for it.
Yeah. There's a skin thickening that happens when you first start out.
Right, right.
I guess as far as that goes, there's certainly a stomach that you have to have.
Right. And don't even think that because I bought a program called $10,000 in 30 days, you're going to get $10,000 in your bank account in 30 days.
Sure. The author of the program might, right?
Right, right. And then you go into to the person who provided the seminar, online training, or whatever. Hey, there's no $10,000 in my bank account. Well, you didn't even open the program.
Sure, right. Oh, that's so funny that you say that. So I teach this business planning class, and there's a slide that I put up there in this business planning class. It's a Craigslist ad, and it shows the Personal Power 2 from Tony Robbins.
Uh-huh.
They're cassettes, right? And this is an ad that I pulled maybe a year ago. Cassettes, right? And in this collection, there was one cassette that was opened. Otherwise, the rest of them are all still sealed up. And the guy's trying to sell it for, $100 or whatever like this. And I said, okay, here's this guy. Whoever it was, right, they bought these cassettes probably a decade ago. Probably paid a few $100 way back then. And over the course of 10 years, has only opened up one cassette. And now he's trying to get, pennies on the dollar for what he initially paid. I'm assuming it's a he. It doesn't matter who it is. Right? And he's probably like, this didn't work for me. But in the end, he didn't even try it.
Right.
He essentially paid for the hope that it would be successful just by him through diffusion or osmosis or something like that. Like, just because these cassettes are near me, I'll absorb the information or something of that nature.
Well, at least he opened one cassette.
Yeah, right.
Experience with a client, a really good friend of ours that it's also a client.
Mm-hmm.
They actually hold online courses and seminars like masterminds and setting for business and coaches and things like that. And we just got an email from one client of theirs that it's been 13 months since this individual bought the course.
Okay.
And the course was a 90-day program,
mm-hmm.
and they're seeking a refund after 13 months, and they never logged in to the system.
No.
And they're seeking refund for 13 months,
yeah,
and threatening to file a lawsuit and slander this client. I'm like, come on, really?
Right.
At least show me that you participated in the program, you interacted in the Facebook groups, you opened your online course, at least you registered to in the online course, and at least you glance at each module.
Right.
But it's brand new.
Let's try it, sure.
And you still have access. You have access for life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like going to the cardiologist prescribing you medication.
Sure.
Dying of a heart attack and your family trying to say, hey, this person died.
It's all your fault.
The medication.
That's funny.
You never fill the prescription.
Sure. Right. Do the stuff. So cool.
Yes.
So cool. Yes. So do you work with clients locally in San Diego, or are you taking care of stuff nationally or all over the world?
We actually take care of international clients
all
over the world.
Okay.
Our main focus is actually Mexico and the U.S.
Okay.
It's obvious. We're fully bilingual. We are bicultural,
mm-hmm.
Which is a great help because doing business in Mexico, it's completely different as to doing business in the United States.
I bet it's a whole new world. I don't even know how it's different. I just am sure that it is.
Just starting by the accounting and taxes.
Okay.
That's a huge problem.
All right. Okay.
So understanding both worlds
sure.
position us in a very good way, because we hold Mexican investors, we hold their hand mm-hmm. to navigate the U.S.
Mm.
It's complicated for them to realize that in the U.S. there's no leadway for bribes.
Right.
And when you have to do the licensing and permit the right way,
yeah,
it's complicated for them to understand this.
Sure. Can't we just pay a guy and move on with our life?
Right. And vice versa. When we bring investors from the U.S. to do business in Mexico, it's like, oh, this is not complicated, but it's expensive.
Sure. There's no paperwork. Just a lot of cash and suitcases.
Right. So for some businesses.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
Another thing that business owners have always, and it's an issue,
mm-hmm.
they always want to do their books for them not to pay taxes.
Oh, sure.
If you don't want to pay taxes, don't generate revenue.
Sure. Stop making money, okay?
Yeah.
Sure.
Stop making money. As simple as that.
Sure.
There's one thing is evading taxes. Another thing is avoiding taxes.
Okay, sure.
So we are good, but we're not magicians. We're not going to disappear your revenue or your profit.
Sure.
There's ways to strategize. There's ways to maximize tax credits and shelters and things like that. But you need to be cautious.
Sure.
It's not like you just write off and say, hey, your liability is zero.
You know, I feel like, and this is coming from a business owner, right? I feel like when you read news stories about the Jeff Bezos of the world or GE or even president and all that kind of stuff that are making mm-hmm. making some serious bank, and you see that they are not paying taxes, mm-hmm. you do the math and you're like, well, I'm making less than them, so I should be paying less than zero. If my math is correct and if things are fair, but mm-hmm. that's generally not the case.
Do you know what's the difference between them and us as general small businesses?
I imagine a few more commas in their income statement, but outside of that.
That's one thing. But the other thing is that they have advisors.
Okay.
And they follow the advice.
Okay.
They don't try to do everything on their own.
Sure. No, and I don't even know if they could.
And us as business owners, as small business owners,
mm-hmm.
we want to do everything by ourselves.
Sure, because we're afraid to pay someone to help us, right?
We're so cheap that we want everything for us.
Yes.
And we don't want to pay somebody that knows exactly what they're doing.
Right.
To do it.
Sure.
We buy TurboTax. Not that there's anything wrong with TurboTax, or not that there's anything wrong with QuickBooks Online and
sure.
doing it on your own. But you don't know the proper classification. You don't know how to maximize the deductions.
Right.
You don't know how to classify them. So if you were to invest on good consultants,
mm-hmm.
you would probably be saving more taxes than what you are doing it.
Sure.
On your own.
Sure. I can appreciate that. Yeah.
That's the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I use an accountant, and I cringe for a moment when I get the bill.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more just because I cringe at just about any dollar that goes out. That's just the nature of the beast, right? That's even on a personal level. But you understand that there's a value in that, just because I guess I understand that with the services that we offer people, we certainly don't do it for free. And we believe that there's a value to them as well. So I can appreciate that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So let's downshift into marketing, because that's always a good, fun topic for business owners.
Awesome, yeah.
You are essentially offering a service that I would consider to be a necessity for small business owners, though not every small business owner may believe that.
Right.
How do you get people to even know that you exist outside of going on super awesome podcasts like this?
That is right. We love podcasts. What we do is, and this is for every business owners, we actually know who is our client.
Okay.
You probably listen or have heard, hey, know your avatar. Who's your avatar?
Sure.
Who's your buyer persona?
Right, the ideal client, right?
Yes, your ideal client. Until you really dialed in,
mm-hmm.
who's your ideal client? Who's your avatar? Who's your buyer persona? Mm-hmm. There, that moment, you're going to be able to channel mm-hmm. to the proper marketing campaign.
Sure.
You cannot advertise to the universe.
No.
Because if you're trying to say, oh, everybody's my client. For us, everybody that pays taxes might be our client. Well, no, they're not.
Sure.
That's a humongous universe.
That is a arguably everyone.
So everybody is like a restaurant. Oh, everybody that eats, it's my client. No, they're not.
Right.
They are not. Until you really realize who is your ideal client, mm-hmm. you're going to be able to pinpoint and direct those marketing dollars specifically to them.
Sure. So you are, I guess, your avatar is going to be small business, right?
Small to medium businesses.
Okay. And that's like that number means, or that phrase, I should say, means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So is there a,
right.
how do you describe a small to medium business?
Plus $1 million to $10 million in revenue, not
okay.
in profit, revenue.
Okay.
Ideally that they, well, one of our characteristics is that they really, really want to grow.
Okay.
One thing is wishing that you want to grow. Another thing is really wanting to grow.
Sure.
And I'll know in our initial interview.
Okay.
If you really want to grow or you just want to continue having a self-employment.
Sure. Because you can see that they're taking some actions of some kind?
I can see whether you're focused or not.
Gotcha. Okay.
I ask you specific questions.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have 5, 6, 7 things going at once, you're not focused.
Mm. I'm in trouble. Not an ideal client here. But I understand.
You're dedicating you're segregating your time in 5 projects.
Yes.
How can you succeed in one if you're dividing your attention among 5?
That is a extremely true point. Yes. Extremely
just
true.
Focus on one. Once you've succeeded on that and once you have created systems and they're in place
mm-hmm.
and you can leave and your company moves on,
mm-hmm.
then go to the next project.
Sure.
But I just finished a call and this person has 5 companies that they were just created last quarter of 2019. None of them are profitable.
Mm.
All of them are seeking the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So which one is it?
Mm. All right.
They want to raise capital, but they don't want to pay taxes.
Sure, like, okay.
You can have the best of both worlds. We
right.
can strategize for minimizing the taxes, but they don't want to pay taxes at all. They're like, well, just
like zero?
Move out of the U.S. Yeah.
But who's going to pay for the roads? There are times, to a certain extent, I understand that you want to minimize your tax, you know,
right.
liability, right? I understand that.
Right.
But there's also a point where you're like, you know, my kid goes to school. We have roads. These roads are plowed. Maybe in San Diego that's not an issue, but in Wisconsin it certainly is.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's certain things that you can see, like, it's not free.
Correct.
So,
you have to pull your own weight. Like,
yeah.
at least contribute something. Yes, let's strategize to minimize your tax impact,
mm-hmm.
but that's all.
Sure.
Like if your profit is $5 million, let's pay some taxes.
Sure.
Right?
Sure. Yeah, because without those roads or those services that the government is providing, right. could you have
right.
your business?
Exactly. You couldn't.
Sure.
You couldn't.
So there's a little bit of an IOU there.
Yes.
So
yes.
interesting. Yeah, it's a different world. I always feel like the tax collectors are kind of like the meter maids, where
uh-huh.
there's like a necessary evil. You don't know anyone who would want to do that job, but you feel like, you know what, in the end, that's a necessary job, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
you can't have people parking where they shouldn't park.
Yeah.
So you need the meter maid, whatever. But in the end, who would want to be that person? It's going to be tough.
No.
So people like us that can help people avoid that, right? Parking, taxes,
yeah.
all that jazz. So what is the favorite part of the business that you have going on?
What's the favorite part of the business that we have?
Mm-hmm.
I think that my favorite part is when I am strategizing
mm-hmm.
to create new businesses.
All right.
And implementing that strategy.
Okay.
Because, and this is a conversation that Jeff and I, we've always had.
Sure.
When I'm doing that, the way I think is I get out of my body and I look down as if I was playing chess.
Okay.
I'm always two or three moves ahead and realizing, oh, if I do this, then we move this piece, and three or four moves ahead,
mm-hmm.
always.
Okay.
Even when I'm consulting with clients, I know already what they're going to ask.
Okay.
So, and that's a good thing in business.
Sure. Sure. You want to be a few steps ahead or be able to look and
exactly.
anticipate?
Exactly. So that's what I like. I like strategizing.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool. What is the thing that you like least about your business?
What is it, the thing that I like least about my business?
That's going on the presumption that there's something, right?
There is. There's a lot of things that that as a business owner I don't like.
You're like, I hate doing bookkeeping and accounting, right?
I actually love, it's interesting because I love doing bookkeeping. It's not. It's something that I should not be doing. But I like looking at those classifications because I can come to understand what the client is thinking or what our employees are thinking.
Sure.
Because the way you classify it is the way you think. And in case of an audit, I always ask the client, hey, can you please explain why you did this? And they give me their explanation. I'm like, ooh. If we were in an audit, if I was a IRS auditor,
sure.
we'd be so fried.
Oh. Not ideal.
No. So I educate them and tell them, hey, this is not the proper way to classify them, or this is not an expense. And I start some education and telling them, hey, even though it comes out of your bank account,
mm-hmm.
it's not an expense.
Sure.
And they don't realize that.
Right. That's fair. That's fair.
Until we tell them that. So that's pretty much, I think that would be it. Another thing, something that I don't like networking.
Oh. Interesting. Okay, you mean you're talking about the networking events and stuff like that?
Yes, networking events are not for me.
Okay. Tell me why. Tell me why. I love this.
Because everybody wants to sell me.
Yeah. That's so funny you say that. I was just talking to someone. And he was a construction guy, contractor, right?
Uh-huh.
And he's looking for people that want to do kitchen remodels, bathroom remodels, all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, man, that group was worthless. I didn't have anybody in there that I could sell. And I'm like, dude, it's a bunch of salespeople trying to sell each other.
Exactly.
What did you think you were going to find?
Cautious on which networking events you go. Everybody's
right.
trying to sell you.
Yes.
They don't provide you a value. They don't add anything to my life or
right.
to my business. How many insurances do you need?
True,
How
so
many
true.
Legal Zooms do you need?
Sure.
How many payroll services do
right.
you need?
Right, or mortgages, like, or banks, oh, sure.
Yes, like I already have a mortgage. Don't try to sell me another mortgage.
Oh, that is awesome. That is so funny. The financial
so
planner's life insurance.
To my life.
Sure.
So, period. Like, what can I add you in value to you? Like,
sure.
Tell me. Ask me something like that. Don't come out and say, hey, here, I have insurances. Can I sit down with you and go over it? No.
Right.
Thank you.
Right. That's so funny.
It's like those phone calls, like, please don't hang up. Your Google listing is like, if, when you start my conversation with please don't hang up, what
You're
am I going to
totally going to hang up.
Exactly.
Oh, that's awesome.
I don't know who came up with that marketing plot online because they're worthless.
I imagine.
Hang up.
Yeah, something like that where it's bots, right? It's only time and programming.
Right.
So they can just make the millions of calls without any real expense beyond the initial programming.
But what ethics do you have to your customer that you're...
Oh, none. None. No. If you're doing marketing like that, no. Ethics are gone.
Exactly. So why would you buy a service like that? Why would you hire somebody that is doing that? It's like... Be ethical in business.
Sure. Totally agree. I always wonder when you get those calls, like, who is saying yes to this? There has to be one in 1,000 at least to make it worth their while, right? So who?
Right.
I almost want to meet that person just so I can sell them something a little better. But
yeah.
That's just
how
it goes.
I only have one roof. How many solar panels do I need?
See, in Wisconsin, we don't get calls about solar panels. At least not too many that I know of. Oh, that's funny.
Right. Well, over here in California, we do.
Sure, I bet you get all kinds. Oh, that's funny. So from the, let's go back to the, I guess, going around the marketing. Are you, do you find online ads working, or do you find the whole content thing with blogs and videos and blah, blah, blah? Or are you doing more media like print stuff or TV, radio?
We're doing events.
Okay, doing events?
We're doing events. We're doing small events.
Okay.
We were at the event last weekend, and one of our mentors, actually coach, business coach,
mm-hmm.
she was on stage, and she said something that it's really, really real and it's relevant.
Okay.
Speaking engagements mm-hmm. and events, they don't have algorithms.
Okay.
The algorithm does not change as Google or Facebook or Instagram pleases.
Sure.
You don't have to follow the new algorithm every other day or every month.
Sure.
You just create an event.
Right.
Stand up on stage and you talk and deliver a story.
All right.
It doesn't have to be your story, but it has to resonate with your public.
Sure.
Because content, I can create thousands of millions of contents.
Mm-hmm.
Five things to not do this, five things to do that, why your business fails, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
That's all just a Google search away.
Sure.
Who cares about that?
Right.
Really?
Right.
It's all about the story.
Okay.
So we do events.
Okay.
We do small events. I do some interviews. I do podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
I do video casts. We're doing live Facebooks, but just to be there.
Okay. Just to supplement a little bit.
Yes. Just to move the algorithm.
Sure.
In Facebook, Instagram, Google, and LinkedIn.
Sure.
But it's all about the story that you tell. It's all about the how you tell it. If it resonates with them. They're your tribe. They're your client.
Interesting. So can you tell me about your, just tell me about, let's say, the last event or the next event that you have coming up. Is this with you alone, or is it piggybacking on other business owners, or how do you get a crowd in there?
It's actually done by us.
Okay.
We actually bought the rights to a system, a program, or a movement. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we share things that we messed up in business or in our lives.
Okay.
Everybody shares their success stories. We don't. We share our biggest screw-up.
Uh-huh. All right.
We share the experience or the learning from that incident or biggest screw-up.
Mm-hmm.
And we've learned based on our education, our mentors, the books that we've read,
mm-hmm.
that every successful business owner or individual in the world, in their own books, they talk about their screw-ups.
Totally. I totally talk about my screw-ups in my book.
Right. And they don't talk about their successes. They teach everybody how they screwed up and how they fixed it.
Right.
Or what they learned, or how many times they had to screw up to be successful.
Sure.
Because if you think that at the first try you're going to be a multi-billionaire, you're not thinking right.
No.
You're not.
No, unless you got some trust fund or something like that.
And mind you, the trust fund depletes.
Fair. You know, it reminds me, my kid likes to watch these videos on YouTube of guys making these trick shots and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
So he wanted to set up a trick shot for us to do. And I think we were rolling like a Frisbee or something like that down the driveway. The Frisbee had a hole in it. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to throw a football through the Frisbee. And then past the rolling Frisbee, you want to get it in this cup. And he throws it the first time. And, of course, he doesn't make it, right? Doesn't even come close to the Frisbee.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just heartbroken. And I said, buddy, you got to understand, these guys probably tried this shot 100 times before they made it. And they don't show the 100 failures. They just show the one that made it.
Wow.
So he was just under the impression that you just have to make this one shot, just set it up, and boom, you're done. Like, no, it's not exactly how success works.
There's but you know what? That's an amazing teaching that you taught your kid, because nowadays every kid or new generations, they expect a medal or an award just for trying.
Oh yeah, immediate gratification needed. Mm-hmm.
Exactly, and I teach my nephews and my nieces is like, do you know what? It's okay to fail. You don't need a reward because you tried.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you go out there and you try to get your first client or you're looking for your first job and mm-hmm. you don't get it,
mm-hmm.
whomever is interviewing you or whomever you got the client proposal, they're not going to send you a reward.
No.
They're not even going to call you and say, you know what, thank you for participating, bye.
Sure. Here's a little
What's
sucker.
What's going to happen? Are you gonna be all depressed? Are you gonna cry? What is it gonna happen?
Yeah.
Nothing. Life goes on, and you move to the next client and or to the next job interview.
Right, right. Acknowledge and move on.
Exactly. So that's great.
Yeah, that's cool. It's a little odd because I didn't realize that he thought that shot was gonna be made out the first time.
But
we're gonna have to try this thing 1,000 times before we make the shot.
But at least he knows that he has to try 1,000
right.
times. And it's okay.
That's very true. Very true.
And if he makes 1 out of 1,000,
mm-hmm.
that's amazing. But after that, the odds are going to be smaller and smaller.
Like right, right.
1,000 is going to be 500 and then 200 and so on. But he's going to learn.
Right. You build upon your success.
Exactly.
So true. So you mentioned some business books and stuff like that. Do you have a favorite?
Business books? One that I'm reading right now is The Leadership. The Leadership Secrets of Santa Claus.
Oh, of Santa Claus.
It's an interesting book.
Interesting. I've never heard of that book. I'll have to check that out.
Yes, it's a very interesting book because Santa Claus, it's a business.
It turns out, yeah. I had a little, that's funny. I did a little thing in art class years ago uh-huh. in college, uh-huh. right? It said the North Pole went bankrupt because it kept making toys and not bringing any money in.
Wow.
And so Santa Claus had to become a New York cabbie. This
was
20 years ago, so it's kind of funny. But leadership principles of Santa Claus, you said?
Yes.
All
Santa
right.
Claus needs to manage elves.
Sure.
He doesn't do all the toys by himself.
No.
He needs to go and buy wholesale.
Sure.
He needs to manage clients. He needs to manage vendors.
Huh.
He has payroll.
Sure.
He has a suit to keep. He has a lot of things to manage.
Right.
And you never realize that.
That's so funny. That is cool.
So it's interesting.
All right. So you got to tell me the secret of keeping a good partnership rolling in business. Because that has been, well, just about everybody I know that's had a partner has had some challenges and some go well and some less than. I've had
it's
different
funny.
Partnerships. One went way south very quickly and one actually went very well for a long time.
It's not easy. Having a partner, it's more complicated than having a spouse.
Sure. Okay.
It's extremely complicated.
Sure.
So you cannot jump into the first business partner that you find.
Right.
Or we have an idea, let's go in business together. No.
Sure.
Do your own research, your own due diligence. But I think that one of the biggest things that you need to keep is clarity.
Okay.
Expectations and communications.
Clarity, expectations, and communications. All right.
Don't assume that your business partner is in the same channel as you are.
Sure.
Right?
All right.
Don't assume. We all assume that our business partner knows exactly what we want and vice versa.
Right.
Even in our personal relationships, wives assume what we're thinking.
Right.
Husbands assume what the wife is thinking.
Sure.
And most of the time it's not.
No, because they have different education and experience and,
right.
and rules
right.
of life, I suppose.
Yes, and then go out and read and do a list of what are the strengths and weaknesses of each partner.
Mm-hmm.
Maximize those strengths
mm-hmm.
and support the weaknesses.
Support the witnesses.
The weaknesses.
The weaknesses. Okay, sure, uh-huh. sure.
Support the weaknesses.
Okay, got it.
If your partner, it's weak on financials.
Sure.
Support them on that.
Mm, all right.
If your partner is weak on delivering you digested information,
mm-hmm.
guide him.
All right.
Hey, I want bullet points and explain them to me as if I was a 3-year-old.
Ah, all right.
Clarity, as clear as possible. Don't assume, don't expect. Tony Robbins says, change your expectations for appreciations.
Sure.
If they screw up, find a teaching moment.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. I think Tony Robbins is kind of based out of San Diego, right? Or somewhere near you?
Tony Robbins started in San Diego, correct?
All right.
Most big coaches have started it here in San Diego, but they moved from San Diego to somewhere else.
Man, I visited San Diego, and I don't know why anyone would leave there.
Ooh, that's another conversation off.
That's maybe real estate, but the weather is so beautiful. I come from, I don't even know what it is right now. It's cold outside where we are, so.
It's cold here, too. We had a couple of rainy days.
All right, fair.
And that's it.
So, a couple of rainy days. We're looking at 8 inches of snow coming.
Oh, no, a couple of rainy days. It's our winter season.
Sure. Oh, no, I just say motorcycle time all the time. That sounds all right.
Yeah.
So tell me a story, right? I guess I mean to ask the best piece of advice that you would give an entrepreneur in any line of business. I guess what's a piece of advice that you would give them if you met someone that was just said that they were considering starting a business?
Be willing to listen.
Be willing to listen. I like that.
Be willing to listen to advice.
Mm-hmm.
Don't seek opinion. That's the my advice to any business owner.
All right. Don't seek opinion. Be willing to listen to advice. I like that.
Yes.
That is clever. Cool. And how long did it take for you to learn that one?
Ooh, over 20 years.
That's the best. I love it. I love it. Well, Vidal, our time.
Yeah,
that's the way it happens, right? Vidal, your website says that you are San Diego's best accountant, which is super cool. And
yeah,
I have to believe it goes beyond that just from talking to you here. What is your website?
Invictus-advisors.com.
Awesome. And it looks like people can get a free book on there. Is that right?
Right. Yes, okay. Yes. They can request a free book. We have 2 books. One is Help, the IRS is After Me. What Can I Do? And the other one is Help, I Want to Be a Real Estate Investor. What Can I Do?
Oh, nice.
And it's a series that we're starting, that we're rewriting. And so I don't know. I think we're coming. The next one would be Help, I Want to Be a Restaurateur. What Do I Do?
Ha.
And things like that. Help, I Want to Be a Business Owner.
Sure.
What Do I Do? And that's like a 20-volume encyclopedia.
Wow. That's super cool.
It's interesting.
Yeah. I like it. I feel like the restaurant one would just be 1 page. It just says, don't do it. But I'm completely biased there.
If so. It would have been me, yes. But no. I had a good run with the restaurants. I had a great experience.
Sure.
I learned a lot. I met a lot of people.
Nice.
But it cost me upwards of $4
million. $4
million. Yeah, so it was a bit of a expensive experience.
Sure.
Well, that's, that way.
Education is expensive, right? And sometimes you got to overpay.
Right?
That's the
right.
name of the game.
Right.
Awesome.
So,
well, I appreciate you being on the show.
Thank you so much. It's been fun.
It's been it goes fast when we talk to smart people. I love it.
Oh. It is. Oh wow, it's already 1.
I know, right?
Wow. It didn't feel it.
It goes super fast.
It was really fun.
Awesome. This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. If you are listening to this on the web, please like, subscribe, and share. My name is James Kademan, and Authentic Business Adventures is brought to you by Calls on Call, offering call answering and receptionist services for small businesses across the country on the web at callsoncall.com. as well as Draw In Customers Business Coaching, offering business coaching services for entrepreneurs in all stages of their business on the web at drawincustomers.com. And of course, The Bold Business Book, a book for the entrepreneur and all of us, available on Amazon and wherever fine books are sold. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, as well as our guest, Vidal Espinoza from Invictus Advisors. Vidal, I hope that I pronounced your name right. I apologize if I did not.
Nope, you did.
Awesome. And then why don't you tell us that website one more time?
Invictus-advisors.com.
Awesome. Very cool. Find us airing on 103.5 Wednesdays at 1 p.m. as well as at Sundays at 2 p.m. as well as at sunprairiemediacenter.com. Past episodes can be found morning, noon, and night at the podcast link found at drawincustomers.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. I want you to stay awesome and enjoy your business.